Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
NFL owners have proposed an 18-game season where players actually have a 16-game limit. This sounds cool. It sounds like a good idea, and it also sounds like we might not get it until the next CBA.
All of a sudden you're going to have your quarterback sit for two games? It sounds dumb to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, you're going to sit for two games.
Whenever you play, let's say, an easy out, right? Hey, we got the Cardinals this week, fellas.
Right.
So Vance Joseph can say, we're back. Time to play Drew Lock. Right? I kind of like that idea of you have to have better depth. You can't just, have a slappy holding a clipboard. Like, you actually have a guy that you have to play a couple of games.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about it that way, but I guess... Like, for me, so I'll tell you, in 2000, my last season, I hurt my knee the very first day of training camp. Tried to rehab it, ended up having to have surgery like 4 or 5 days later. Had the surgery, missed the first couple of games of training camp, came back in the third week of the training camp and played against the Niners and then played the last game of the preseason. And then coming into the first game, we're in St. Louis. And we're in a shootout. And the coaches were like, we're going to rotate you to try to keep you fresh with Lenny Friedman. And we're going to kind of just go, series to series or quarter to quarter, whatever like that. And I was like, you can save that. Either play him or you play me. But I ain't rotating with Lenny Friedman. Done. Like, if you want to start him, start him. But I'm not doing that. And it wasn't me being arrogant or me being a jerk. It was me going, dude, I can't take a couple series off and then come back in. I'll stiffen up and I just won't be any good. So play me. Ultimately it probably wasn't a good idea because I hurt my knee at the very last, like the last series of the game. And then it started the downhill slide to the end of my career. But the bottom line is the reason I tell you that is because players want to play. Like, if we got an 18-game schedule, we're going to play an 18-game schedule. It's about how do you manage guys during the course of a season and how do you expand rosters? You've got to expand rosters. And there's a couple things that go on here. You're going to have to expand the rosters and you're going to actually have to teach guys how to play football. That means, you're going to have to open up your facilities. Like, this blows me away. So, and this is part of the last collective bargaining agreement I put on the players. Well, we want less time at the facility. So, wait a minute. All of a sudden, you've got these $40 million, $50 million, $100 million facilities with trainers, exercise specialists. You've got hydrotherapy baths. You've got cryovac. You've got stuff that we didn't even dream. It wasn't even invented. When I played, right? You have the ability to totally take care of your health and your wellness and do it in the facility that's unbelievable with all kinds of professionals. Instead, we lock ourselves out of those those $50 million facilities and we go pay 50 grand to have some guy train us down in LA and we have to, rent a place.
In a warehouse.
Right.
We just got a couple tractor tires we can flip over.
It makes zero sense to me. So my thought is you gotta undo some of the really stupid rules that you implemented under the guise of, hey, it's gonna make us healthier or safer. What it's really done, it's retarded your football development. And you're not as good a football player. And therefore, as much as you thought it was going to increase the longevity of careers, I think it's actually, even squeeze the middle player, the good backup that can hang around for the next 10 years. I think it's squeeze that guy out of the league because, why would you pay that guy when you can pay a rookie an eighth of the money and you have the same type of player, one guy is, he's never really developed like we'd like him to develop. And we might as well just have a rookie play.
18-game regular season means strategy if you have a 16-game limit for guys. So you have to have a deeper team. You have to have reserves that you can trust.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I like that extra layer of strategy, maybe from a fantasy football's perspective. But for you, from a preparation standpoint, how would you like that? We're playing the Cardinals this week, Stink. You don't have to play.
Right.
Is that a good thing? Sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah, like you got your own little personal mini bye week.
A little bye week, yeah.
I just don't. Here's the other thing, man. I don't want to get Wally Pipped. You know Wally Pipp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wally Pipp was a starting first baseman. He didn't like his contract, complained that he had a headache and couldn't play. And Lou Gehrig came in and played the next 3,000 some odd games straight, and Wally Pipp was history.
He was Wally Pipp.
Right, he was Wally Pipped. I don't want to give some young kid an opportunity to play my spot. I want to play my spot as long as I can play my spot. I don't know that the players are going to be really excited about that. How excited do you think Peyton Manning would be during the course of his career to have 2 weeks off during the season?
He would hate it.
He would hate every second of it. That sounds like a compromise because owners don't want to increase the rosters. They don't want to pay another 10 guys. They don't want to do those things, you know? And to me, if you're going to do it, I mean, I want my starting quarterback. I want, you know, a chance to win. I want a chance to win every single game. I want the best players on the football field. Like, when we talk about the best in the world, okay, and that's what this is, the best in the world, and there's only, 1,700 guys in the world that are athletically gifted enough and they're touched enough to play this game, right? And so there's very few that get to do it. And now all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, 2 weeks during the year, guys, you're going to get backups. 2 weeks during the year, we're not going to give you the full roster. And we don't know which 2 weeks those are, but we're going to still charge you. But we're going to charge you this week. Hey, just so happened you came, you know, you came to see your favorite quarterback play. He's not playing this week.
Right.
And when you think about, you know, you think about the average American, like if you get to go to a game, right, and you're a kid, and this is you, like your family saves to it's come on, the tickets are going to cost you a couple hundred dollars, you know,
at least probably
300.
Family of three, it'd be like $500 to go to a game.
Right, just
that's
to,
not parking.
To park, yeah. I mean, you start to park, and then you start to think about concessions and stuff like that. I mean, you're dropping, in some cases, you're dropping a grand. If you a family of four, you're going to drop a grand to go to a game. And if you save all that money to go there, and all of a sudden your favorite players aren't playing.
Right.
Because this is our you know, our little bye week.
I'm sorry, son. I know you love Peyton Manning, but it's Brock Osweiler's turn this week. Rules and stuff.
Right. I think it's a compromise for them to say, hey, look, you're only playing 16 games, but we don't want to expand our rosters.
But it's less preseason games.
The preseason games, we don't play in the preseason games anyhow. So nowadays, you know, I don't know. I think that one's a little, I think that just feels fishy to me. Feels a little fishy.
Something stinks.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing smell you've discovered. I'll warm you up to that idea
all right.
Today.
All right. Okay.
Okay. We'll continue that discussion. But we also have to get into who are the most overrated Denver Broncos. We talked about underrated guys, but the most overrated aspect of this team. What is it? Stink tells you next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Well, we've already talked about the underrated aspect of the Denver Broncos. Hell, I wrote about it at 104.3thefan.com before I went on vacation, Stink. But now we got to go the other way. We got to talk about overrated aspects of this team, as much as it may hurt some in Broncos country. Which part of this team or players are
overrated, in your opinion?
I mean, it just depends on who's doing the ratings, you know? I mean, I don't know that I'm overrating anybody because I'm always, you know, I go by the, my wife will call me a pessimist at times. And I'm like, I'm a total optimist, but I'm a pessimist when it comes to football and football-related activities in that I always went in expecting the worst, and then anything that happened above that was gravy. You know, that's my favorite drink, gravy. So, I mean, I was just like, all right, I just expect it to be like a three-hour just smash-mouth nasty practice. And if it was 220, you're like, aha, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, it was way less than I thought
it'd
be. I got
like a 40-minute break today.
Yeah. And so I kind of always approached a lot of things in life that way. And so, you know, I mean, I'm happy-go-lucky and, you know, and I'm intentionally grateful all the time. And I think about all the you know, I try to focus on all the good as opposed to some of the crap that we all have to deal with, right? Everybody has problems. Everybody has things that crop up. But I try to focus on the good stuff. But, you know, like if you're sitting there going, okay, what do you think is overrated? Well, I mean, I think that we look at our wide receiving core, for instance. And I think there's a lot of question marks that, for me, makes them kind of an overrated group. We keep thinking, well, if Emmanuel Sanders is 100% and it looks that way on the videos, but, you know, videos running against air is not with somebody jamming their hand in your chest and, you know, riding your hip down the sideline as you're trying to run your routes. Like, if Cortland Sutton develops, if Deshaun Hamilton develops in the slot, right? If Noah Fant is great on the outside, he takes the pressure off those guys and you get some one-on-one. Like, there's so many ifs that I would look at the depth of the receiver position and the position in general and say that position is overrated. On our squad, I think that position is dramatically overrated. And I know, you know, a lot of people, and yourself included, said, man, it looks like Cortland Sutton has taken the next step. And you hope that that's the case, but you've seen it. You've covered this game for a long time. I've seen it as a player and an analyst. Guys who look really good in the preseason, guys who look really good in shorts and t-shirt, guys who look the part, who just when the uniforms come on, When the suits come on, the real stuff happens, they just all of a sudden shrivel. They're just not ready for the moment. So that for me is a vastly overrated part. I know we're talking a lot about this offensive line. I think this offensive line is vastly overrated.
Well, we'd have to think highly of them before we could overrate them, right?
Yeah, but I think the scuttlebutt that you hear nationally is, oh, well, they got Mike Munchak, it'll be fixed. Right? I mean, isn't that like, Mike Munchak was the greatest hire, the Broncos, like of all the hires, you know, forget about Vic Fangio or Rich Scangarello or forget about all that, you know, Ed Donatell, the best hire here was, you know, Mike Munchak, he'll fix this O-line. But it's beyond that because we all focus on Garrett Bowles and rightfully so because he hasn't been very good.
Right.
Right. But I don't know what, I think Dalton Risner is going to bring some attitude, some nastiness. I think he's going to be good. I don't know. I think Connor McGovern is a guy. That's my personal opinion of him. I think he's a guy. I don't think he's a bad player. I don't think he's a good, I don't think he's a great player. I think he's a guy. Ronald Leary, he's had knee, he's had back, he's had Achilles. And he's old.
Achilles!
Thank you, Ben. So, like, and then Juwan James, you're counting on Juwan James, who's really talented, to get coached up and start playing, you know, beyond the 2.5 second kind of time frame that he's been playing in. So there's a, I don't want to say over, just a lot of questions for me.
A lot of ifs.
Yeah.
When we talk about this subject. But we know this, like, we don't know about the other stuff. We hope Dalton Risner can get it done, all that kind of stuff. But Mike Munchak's not overrated.
No.
We can say that 100% certainty.
100%.
So that gives you hope.
Right.
Emmanuel Sanders has done it before, so he's not underrated. He's just not healthy yet.
There's just a question. Yeah, I don't know if it's so much overrated as for me, it's question marks.
How is Joe Flacco mixed into this then? Because if we talk about if Sutton takes that step and if Hamilton does, well, if Joe Flacco sees Cortland Sutton because Case Keenum couldn't see him.
Yeah.
Case Keenum couldn't see Phillip Lindsay out of the backfield. That's why he didn't throw to him out of the backfield. Like, if Joe Flacco, isn't that the biggest if on this team?
See, for I think for a lot of people it is because there's a lot of people that just want to, you know, draft some rookie quarterback and say, just because you drafted him in the first round, like, we should have taken Lamar Jackson at 5. Like, if you spent any time watching Lamar Jackson, you'd be like, thank the Lord we didn't do that. And I'm not saying he's not a great kid. He is, and, you know, he's respectful, and he plays hard, and he runs the ball. But I'm just telling you, you can't. Like, that experiment in Baltimore, I think, is going to be an abject disaster. I really do. You know, I understand they got out of Joe Flacco. They got out of the contract and all that stuff. But Joe Flacco's a professional quarterback. Now he's like, you know, he's like
30, tall.
30 other professional quarterbacks. They need good people around them. You know, there's Aaron Rodgers and there's, you know, and Tom Brady, if you want to put Tom Brady there, but there's, you know, there's a few guys that don't need great players around them and they'll still have success. Flacco's not one of them, but neither is Alex Smith. Neither is, you know, I mean, come on, just go down the list. You know, maybe a Patrick Mahomes elevates himself into that, but the rest of the guys need support, and Flacco needs support. So I have, you know, I have expectations of Flacco to be like he was, you know, in 2014. You know, to have that 27 touchdowns versus whatever it was, 10 interceptions or whatever. Like, those are the kind of numbers I expect him to post.
Well, Flacco does post those type of things, then we won't be talking about Cortland Sutton being overrated.
Right.
We'll be talking about Cortland Sutton doing what we all expect him to do.
Right. Taking that next step. You know, and you know, when I did the couple of Broncos games last year for Fox, you know, I mean, it was like, hey, Cortland Sutton's unbelievably talented. He's just raw. You know, he cuts off the wrong foot. He's just not quite a polished route runner yet. But, you know, and that's going to take time. And that's, you know, that's where they are. Does he develop there? Does he take that next step? You assume that he's going to, but, you know, we don't know until we know.
We're going to find out, or we're going to get clues at least.
I know. It's going to be exciting, right?
I know. Fixing to find out. Hey, we got Training Camp 2019, The Road to Redemption, coming up on Thursday. We'll be out there live for you, reporting on everything that we see. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. What else is fantastic? Well, the Madden rankings came out. Vaughn Miller might want to tune in and take a tip or two from Mark Schlereth. We go over that next to The Morning Brew.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet
Let's get it on.
Brandon scored 2 runs in this game. Now he belts one high and deep right center field. Adios, pelota into the second deck. What a shot by Crawford. And it is 15-0, Giants.
Ouch. Giants radio on the call stink. You were a glutton for punishment yesterday because you watched all that.
Yeah, I watched 18 innings of Rockies baseball.
Seemed like 18 hours.
Yeah, it felt like 18 hours of Rockies baseball yesterday, which was, I was hoping in the nightcap they'd come back, and I stayed up and watched all the way to the end. But, yeah, that was pretty pathetic, to say the least.
Not what you want.
No, I mean, just tough, but I mean, the first game was just a debacle, and you know, Marquez just—it's funny. I mean, Marquez comes out. I think, essentially, you know, Bud Black comes out to Marquez and basically goes, "You're gonna wear this one, like you're staying in here." And then he proceeds to give up like 3 straight doubles, and he's like, "All right, I can't even let you wear it anymore. Like, this is just ugly." So, I mean, there's gonna be days like that, when you play professional sports, but that one was beyond ugly. It was awful.
All right, move on, Rockies fans. Next in the Morning Brew.
I will not be playing Madden 20
period. All right, number one, my overall is an 89, for sure. My short route running is a 91. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who is making this, dog? Wait, who did this?
There's Keenan Allen. Not going to play Madden. His rating's awful.
Yeah.
He's a much better player than 89.
Oh, Keenan Allen is one of my... One, he plays with a real attitude. I mean, he sets the tone for the Chargers on the offensive side of the ball. And he's one of those guys. He's like the Chris Harris Jr. of the offensive side of the ball, meaning that he doesn't wow you with athleticism. And therefore, people underrate how good the guy is. Like, because he probably, if you line him up against, you know, Julio Jones or Antonio Brown or whoever, it just doesn't look like he's running as fast, you know? But he's just a football player. Like, he's a great football player. Chris Harris Jr. is a great football player. I don't necessarily understand it.
Von Miller is a great football player. He's only at a 97. Now, you were part of the 99 club.
Uh-huh.
For Madden 99. So maybe some tips you could throw out to Von to get that up to extra couple points.
97, that's adorable. You've got work to do. And I think this is what Vic Fangio meant when he said, hey, he could get better. What you didn't hear, they cut that soundbite off. Vaughn could get better. He could get up to Mark Schlereth status with the 99 back from 99 is what Vic meant to say at the end of that. So, it's cute. I'd like to welcome, Aaron Donald, DeAndre Hopkins, Khalil Mack, and Bobby Wagner to the 99 club. Hey, congratulations, boys. I'll teach you the secret handshake of the 99ers.
And look at that cutoff, man. Julio Jones. Not 99.
Yeah, you know, you got work to do, Julio.
Keekly.
Keekly.
Not 99.
98, it's not bad.
Antonio Brown.
98.
Okay.
Von Miller, 97.
David Bakhtiari, if they had beer chugging, though, David Bakhtiari would be better than
a
97.
He'd be 100. He'd be 100.
100 of beer chugging.
I'll get with Von on Thursday.
Okay.
Maybe give him a couple of tips how to increase the rating. J.J. Watt, 97. That's cute.
Not everyone could be in the 99 club.
No.
That's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Next, the morning brew.
I feel like I just kind of, especially the last 7 years, just kind of steadily getting better and better and better, and I still feel like I got a lot left in front of me. You know, and that excites me a lot, you know, to kind of keep going and find out, you know, keep chasing it.
There's Alex Smith, who had that contraption taken off his leg. I know he's trying stink, and I give him all the credit in the world. What a great guy.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think Alex Smith plays football ever again, man. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does, but, man, he's trying to come back from a horrific leg injury.
You know, I've been at a couple different events with Joe Theismann, who does the Redskins preseason, so he's over there kind of prepping and getting ready to, you know, call the preseason games. And Joey T., told me, he's like, he's almost lost his leg twice. They've almost had to amputate his leg two different times. That's how close he was. And the odds of him ever playing again are slim. But you never know. I mean, you just never know. But I would venture a guess that I'm with you. I don't think he ever plays again. Yeah, but he's almost lost that leg two different times where they,
wow,
like they were like preparing to amputate. That's how bad that leg injury was and how bad the infection got and everything else. So he's just, he'll be fortunate to have one, right? So that's kind of where we are with Alex Smith.
Next in the morning brew.
In my mind, I'm ready. You know what I mean? 100%. So, and that's how I can say, you know, once camp hits and y'all see me, y'all hear, y'all know what I'm going to be doing. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, you just got two more days, you know. It's a present. So, you know, you guys get to see you in two more days.
There is Philip Lindsay, audio provided by our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank. Thanks, Troy. Good job.
Yeah, straight.
Mm-hmm. And Philip Lindsay saying 100% in his mind.
Right.
That's an important distinction. 100% in his mind. Will the team ease him in, or is Philip Lindsay a full go from the start of training camp?
I think they'll probably ease him in, but I'm glad that he's like, man, I've already said it. I'm 100%. Let's roll. Like, even if you're not, you're 100. You're going to go out on the field. You got to, I mean, you got to deal with what you got to deal with. And Phillip Lindsay is a guy that's overcome so many things with a horrific knee injury out of high school and everything else. So he is, you know, he's that guy. He's ready to roll. Can you just listen to his voice? Like the thing about him, when I met with him last year before, I don't think it was before the Rams game, I met with him as one of our guys that we brought in the production meetings before we called the game. His attitude and his energy, infectious, man. He is that guy you want in your life. He's that guy that you want. He's an energy provider. I always told my kids there's two types of people in the world. People who enhance your energy and people who drain it. Kick the people who drain it to the curb. Don't hang with those people. Those people will do nothing but drag you down. Be around guys like Phillip Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay, man, just brings energy. Brings positive vibes. He just brings, I mean, he's awesome. I love watching the way he plays. I love the attitude. I love the, you know, everything about him. He's just fun to be around. So, that cat, I don't put anything by him. I mean, if he says he's ready to roll, he's ready to roll.
He hated in mini camps and OTAs when they were limiting him. You could just tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause they wouldn't let him take a handoff. They wouldn't let him catch a pass. And he's right out there with that brace on. Then he didn't have the brace on. And you could just tell by his body language, like, he hates not working. He hates sitting on the sideline.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. And especially him. I mean, there's a kid that comes, he gets, you know, he's a college free agent. He was upset they didn't take him in the seventh round. He was thinking about signing somewhere else, and he decides to sign with his favorite team.
They drafted David Williams, my 60th ranked running back last year.
Mm-hmm.
David Williams, not Phillip Lindsay.
And so he's used that. I mean, he's just used it as motivation. Good for him, man. He's one of my favorite players on this team, bar none, one of my favorite players just because of his attitude and what he's overcome and all those things.
Is it smart, though, for the team maybe to ease him in?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You want that guy right. And, you know, there's going to be some adjustments to getting used to holding the ball with that wrist and all those different things. So, right. Yeah, you want him as right as he can be when the season starts because he's a weapon. And the way they're going to run the ball and the way they're going to throw the ball and the way they're going to use their backs in multiple positions, he needs to be right because he's going to – I don't know that he'll be, you know, hey, you're getting 22 carries a game or 20 – that's not going to be it. It's going to still be the 14, 15 kind of carries because he's going to rotate some. But I think he's going to touch the ball a lot more in the passing game as well.
And that is a wrap for the Morning Brew. You hear it each and every morning at 6:30 a.m. right here on Schlereth and Evans. Cecil Lammy sitting in for a vacationing Mike Evans. And, well, we're 2 days away from training camp 2019, the road to redemption. Counting down the biggest questions as voted on by the fan host. Today's question is next. 2 days away from training camp 2019, road to redemption. Counting down the biggest question. As voted on by the fan host, today's question is, will Emmanuel Sanders be healthy? We've seen videos, Stink.
Right.
He's running, he's cutting. Will he be healthy and when? Is that day one?
Well, he certainly looks healthy. Part of the problem with today's game, and I see this all the time, part of the problem is that football players today, a lot of them, train like track athletes. So they're in phenomenal track shape, but as far as football shape is concerned, it's really hard to get, it's impossible to get in shape to play football by doing anything other than playing football, right? So, you know, I used to get in this argument with Rich Tootin, was our strength coach when I was playing, and we would run like gassers, you know, you go 20, 10 back, 20 back, 30 back, you know, whatever it is. It's just stupid. Or we'd run hundreds. And I would always say, dude, if I have to run 100, somebody scored. Like, I'm not catching anybody. Like, this is dumb. And I was like, it has no bearing on what I do for a living. Right? I mean, it doesn't.
Zero.
So I would be like, let's set up like drill work. So set up a big box, 20 by 10, whatever. Shuffle, 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 shuffle 20 yards, right? Sprint the 10 yards up, shuffle back the other way like you would as an offensive lineman. I'd create drills like, okay, come off the ball, hit the bag, feet, drop the bag, shuffle, 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 bam, come off the ball, hit the next bag, like stuff like that. and you're gassed, but you're gassed and you're doing something that's beneficial to you, something that simulates playing football in the way that we do it. I get if you're running hundreds, if you're a wide receiver or whatever, you know, I mean, I understand that. So I hated, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, when I was in Washington, our strength and conditioning coach, who's a dear friend of mine, we coached a little league team together. His name is Dan Riley. And Dan would always say, why would you spend an hour and a half in the gym if you can get the same amount of work done in 20 minutes? I use that approach right now. I get in the gym, man, 24 minutes, I'm out. In and out. I go. And I just don't stop. I try not to talk to people. You know, sometimes people stop you.
Right.
And you're taking a picture and shooting a video for somebody's kid. And, you know, and I'll do all that. That's fine. But I just try to go. Boom, 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 boom. As fast as I can. Get through the stuff. Right. And get out. Like, why am I going to spend an hour and a half looking at myself in the mirror? Although it is delightful. It's one of my favorite things to do, people.
Pick up those free weights.
You look marvelous.
Do those bicep curls.
So, but why would I spend that time in the gym if I can get it done and the same amount of work done? Like, you can.
How do I know you worked out though? You've never posted it on Twitter.
Right.
I have rarely seen posts of you working out.
Right.
It doesn't happen unless you post it on social media.
Exactly. I don't have a Twitter guy with me to film me while I'm at the gym, but.
Just borrow Vaughn's camera.
Right. So that always made sense to me. Like, why would you do something that's not part of what you do for a living? Like everything that I do, I want to have a purpose in the way I train. When I lived in Washington, my house had a hill on the backside that I kept mowed and everything else. And you know, I extended the grass down this hill, and it was probably 25 yards long. And I would do drill work going up the hill. You know, whether it was like, you know, the old Peyton Manning day, or excuse me, the old, Walter Payton days. But I would do all kinds of, like, not only takeoffs and, you know, and wide zone, tight zone, different footwork things, but, you know, shuffling and doing all kinds of things. But I always wanted everything I did from a cardio fitness standpoint to mimic what I did on a football field. And so, getting back to Emmanuel Sanders, is he in shape? Yeah, he looks like he's in phenomenal shape. Is he running well? Yeah, he's running exceptionally well. But the problem that you get into is now all of a sudden I'm pushing off where I've been pushing off against air, and some DB jams his hand in my chest, right? And he stops me, and he's leaning on me, and he's pushing on me, and we're hand fighting, we're checking. Like, I think there are more, and I don't have the statistical data to back this up, and I don't know that the NFL would either. I just feel like there are more season-ending camp injuries in today's game than there's ever been at any point in the history of this league. And I think most of it is because we train like track athletes, because we're not allowed to do anything anymore in the off-season. And therefore, we don't develop the kinesthetic awareness of you and I mano a mano pushing on each other, like coming off the ball and doing those things. And all of a sudden, you're put in a situation where you've trained the whole offseason like a track athlete. Now all of a sudden I'm running against somebody. I got body presence and I got people leaning on me and I got people pushing me and taking me off my course. And, you know, you got to adjust and all of a sudden, bam, an Achilles, bam, an ACL, bam, you know, a hamstring injury. If something happens, and we see it in camp. I'm telling you what, not just our camp, but across the league, you will see within the first couple of days of training camp, you'll see a couple of ACLs and a couple of Achilles. And I really do think that it's because of the way we train today. We don't train as football players because we're not allowed to anymore, because our own players association has in their infinite wisdom has taken that part of the game away.
Hey, we won, guys. We don't have to go to the facility as much.
Right. We don't have to touch each other. Well, you're right. It's not, you know, football is a game of collisions and contact. You need to develop those skills.
I don't think we need to see Emmanuel Sanders in the preseason.
Honestly, if he missed the entire preseason, but they said, hey, guarantees ready week one, I'd be okay with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to see him, you know, you have to see him in practice. He's got to practice.
Right.
But he doesn't have to play in the
I don't think he needs to play in the preseason at all. We'll see what their plan is, though.
And he may, you know, he may want to come. It'll be game four, which is actually the, like, the kind of the third preseason
game. Game three, right.
Right. So it'll be game four, and he may want to feel like, I knew, like, for myself, like, did I need the preseason? No. Not late in my career. Did I need it? No. It was more damage than it was good. But there was a point where I'm like, okay, you got to get out and at least kind of get a couple of live reps, some live game stuff, just to get yourself in a rhythm. Not a lot, but a little. And I think that's probably where Emmanuel will be.
Bucky Brooks gave out his top five defensive trios. The Broncos have to be on that list, right? We'll discuss next.